Welcome to Talks at Advent, homilies and reflections given at the Church of the Advent, a Western Rite Orthodox mission in Atlanta, Georgia. Today's speaker is Dr. Bo Bruce.
One Sabbath, when he went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully. Behold, there was a man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus responded to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. Then he took him and healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, "Which of you, having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a well on a Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out?" And they could not reply to these things. Now he told a parable to those who were invited, and he noticed how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, 'Give your place to this person.' And then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." That's where the lectionary reading ends, but I'm going to keep going for just a little bit more. He said also to the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." And when one of those who reclined at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." But he said to him, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at that time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. First said to him, 'I bought a field, and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to examine them. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, 'Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame.' And the servant said, 'Sir, what you have commanded has been done, and there is still room.' And the master said to the servant, 'Go out to the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet.'" This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. So, in the lectionary reading today, we have a couple of stories. And the first thing that struck me as I kept reading this passage is this first story is about healing, and healing on the Sabbath. And the second part of the story is about a dinner. And it was unclear to me what they were thinking when they decided to put these stories together, particularly because the very next story after this is more stories and parables about dinner. And it seemed to me that it would probably have made more sense if they put the two dinner stories together. So I spent some time thinking about why did they make this choice when they were putting the lectionary together and put the story of this healing together with the dinner story. So I began to think that there may be an important connection between those stories. In the healing of this man with edema or dropsy, Jesus says, "Which of you having a donkey or an ox would on the Sabbath not immediately pull him out?" And here Jesus is healing a person, not an animal. In creation, God made us responsible for creation, including the animals. And part of what Jesus says here, I think, is that if you take that responsibility seriously enough to heal the animals on the Sabbath, then most certainly the Lord takes his responsibility as the lover of mankind to heal them on the Sabbath. And then that leads organically into a story about humbly taking the low place and being exalted. Much like the animal that fell into the well has taken a physically low place and is raised out, the sick person accepts the burden and depths of their sickness as being beyond their control and asks to be healed. And Jesus does so, exalting them, bringing them out of their humble place to a place of exaltation. As this flow continues to unfold beyond the end of the lectionary reading, I think it becomes easier and easier to see that Jesus is not only literally talking about taking the low place at a table, but about our spiritual life. In Orthodoxy, we frequently talk about the concept of theosis. Theosis is the process, underlining the word process, by which we become free of hamartia. I'm using the Greek word for a reason, because I don't want all the connotations of sin to get into it. But that's what that word is translated as in English, hamartia. And in Greek, that word means missing the mark. So theosis is first the process by which we become free of hamartia, or missing the mark. Second, it is being united with God. That's not part of the process. We are being united with God now, in this life, and later to be consummated in our bodily resurrection. And third, in Orthodoxy, theosis is salvation. Saint Athanasius of Alexandria said, "The Son of God became man that we might become God, becoming by grace what God is by nature." It's important to emphasize that when Saint Athanasius said that we might become God, he meant little g God. Okay? But we also see Saint Peter in his second letter say, "We have become partakers of the divine nature." That we have become partakers of the divine nature. We have become something with God's very being. It's important, though, to emphasize that we do not become nor believe that we become God in essence. God is one, holy, and completely transcendent of all of creation, including humankind. However, God fully united himself with mankind, creating an intimacy with all humans that some Orthodox theologians argue is beyond what we shared with God in the Garden of Eden. There God walked with us, now God walks in us. Jesus is often called the second, or the new Adam, while in some sense also being the first. Jesus is man as God created him, just like Adam, freely loving God in accordance with God's will, and thereby free of hamartia. He doesn't miss the mark. He's pure and holy. When Adam and Eve fell, their nature and our nature changed. And in our fallen nature, we became slaves to sin and death. Christ is truly by nature everything that created man is. That is a doctrine, a dogma of the Orthodox Church. Yet Christ is not fallen man. He was not subject to sin and death. And yet by grace, Jesus became sin for us and humbled himself by becoming freely obedient to death, even death on a cross, as St. Paul says. He freely chose to take upon himself the burden of fallen man, sin, and death, to become everything we are in our fallen nature as well. That we, as St. Athanasius said, could become more like God. So when we humbly accept our fallen nature, as Jesus Christ himself did in a way that none of us could possibly do, him being God, then we accept our seat at the lowest place.
And Jesus says to us, friend, move up to a better place. Join us at the head table. Share in the Holy Trinity's abundant life. See that God has invited to his banquet the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, you and me. Certainly not his friends, but in fact his enemies, by our continued free indulgence in sin. But who are we to reject his invitation? What silly excuses are we making? It's easy to just say to you, stop making excuses. Accept the invitation, join the feast, and yet if you're anything like me, I can't seem to follow my own advice. And that's why it's so important that you're here. Woody Allen, the noted theologian, said that showing up is 80% of life, upon which he followed, sometimes it's easier to hide in bed at home, and I've done both. I'm sure quite often on Sunday morning, you often feel like hiding at home in bed, preferring not to face God. But our regular participation in the services of the church, being a part of the community of our parish, partaking regularly of the sacraments, particularly the very body and blood of Christ, are a given if we're to succeed in the process of becoming free from missing the mark. We have to face Jesus every week, indeed every day, probably every hour, and take the humble, lowest place by admitting we are the prodigal child, that we are chief among sinners, as St. Paul did. And then Jesus can say to us, friend, move up to a better place. We must make actual our reconciliation and participation in the divine life by our continued struggle to reflect in ourselves Jesus, who is the icon of God. The Orthodox Church, we take very seriously icons and images, because they represent for us a window into heaven. Jesus walked this earth incarnate. And if there had been newspaper reporters, we would have pictures of him. And here we have Jesus at his first coming and second coming, and everything we do here in between those two things. Jesus is the icon of God. And we must likewise become icons, images of God. As I've said before, the only way you can be an atheist is to have never met a saint. Because in meeting a saint, you have met God. So I'm here to encourage you, and indeed myself too, to work hard at conforming ourselves more and more to be like Jesus. Remember that it's a process. A process that we believe takes longer than even just this life. And nevertheless, one in which we must align our current life with and our entire being with in order to succeed. For without the struggle, as St. Paul was talking in one of our earlier readings, there is no real faith. Faith leads to actions, to works, which get a bad name. But without those works, your faith is dead, as St. James says. But we're not alone. For the penitent, that is the humble person, we know God has already united himself with us. He walks in us. All we have to do is quit fighting him. To do so, we must be repentant. Pride is often called the mother of all sins, because it leads us to believe that we've not done anything wrong and that we are better than we are. It leads us to a great deal of indifference about sin. It's much easier to sin when you can shrug your shoulders at it. And the normalization of sin, or even the lauding of sin, that we see in our modern, supposedly progressive society is a deep, deep poison. St. John Chrysostom says, "Be ashamed when you sin. Don't be ashamed when you repent. Sin is the wound. Repentance is the medicine. Sin is followed by shame. Repentance is followed by boldness. Satan has overturned this order and given boldness to sin and shame to repentance." are words well to think about. So we must be bold in repentance. That is, we have to show up at the Father's feet as the prodigal, put ourselves in the humble place. St. John Chrysostom says, Satan has fooled us into believing that we should be ashamed of repentance rather than ashamed of our sin. Repentance is not just being sorrowful. It's changing our direction, aligning our life with God. And that we should be very bold in. I want to bring us to close with a few other words of comfort and exhortation from St. John Chrysostom. He said, since it's likely that, being men, they would sin every day, and God knows I do, St. Paul consoles his hearers by saying, renew yourselves from day to day. This is what we do with houses. We keep constantly repairing them as they wear old. You should do the same thing to yourself. Have you sinned today? Have you made your soul old? Do not despair. Do not despond. But renew your soul by repentance and tears and confession and by doing good things. And never cease doing this. Here ends this quote. So take up your cross, your sins, every day, and bear them humbly, as Christ, who did not even deserve to carry them, did. Take them up, and through repentance and humility, transform them into life, just as our Lord did. Listen to your calling to be a saint, and become one, day by day, by being thankful, fasting from some of all the blessings God has just rained upon us, forgiving easily, loving all, and praying always. Transform every action of your life into a prayer to our Lord. Begin today. Sit at the lowest place and accept God's invitation to come to the head of the table. May God in his unity with us grant us ever more abundant grace to do so. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Talks at Advent. Homilies and reflections given at the Church of the Advent, a Western Rite Orthodox mission in Atlanta, Georgia.